I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode number 4. Of Dog Eat Dog.
Who?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm Dave. This is Matt. Colin's out again, so we had to pull up with another episode of Dog Eat Dog.
D-E-D.
Yep. Bangers are coming.
Be ready. For sure. So we're going to start off with the comment section. Got some good comments on some recent videos. Matt, what you got for us?
We're going to get straight to it. So a few episodes back, Dave made an observation that he had about Hollywood movies glorifying when women cheat on their spouses in movies and how, you know, there's they're never really painted as the villain when these things happen.
Yeah.
So Dave did a good job of depicting that in his video that we posted. And we got a lot of views and comments and things that people also observed things. I thought this comment was great by Coach Nakamura on TikTok, where he says, "Love stories are always women cheating. I never trust women whose favorite movie is The Notebook. Mm. It's a movie about a woman leaving her fiance for a teenage summer fling.
Yeah.
If that's a love story to a woman, I cannot trust her."
Yeah.
And yeah, some of these things never went through my mind.
Yeah.
In watching these shows, you definitely opened my eyes to it. There's been some times where I'm like, "Oh, that's weird." Yeah. And then I just move on and I don't really think much more about it. But let me ask you this. Is Coach Nakamura, is he onto something here where he's talking about women who like the movie Notebook?
So the Notebook is a classic, right? It is a quintessential love story, right? It is one that like everyone knows it. Everyone most people have seen it, especially if you're in a relationship. A lot of fans and like a lot of women like this movie.
You're a big fan, is that what you're saying?
It's fine. It's a fine movie. I'll give it some the credit. The final scene, right? You've seen this movie, like one of the final scenes. Yeah. She has Alzheimer's, right? That's like the whole thing, right? Spoiler alert for the Notebook. But at the end, she has Alzheimer's. The whole thing is him reading the Notebook back to her, essentially. She has Alzheimer's, doesn't remember anything.
Yeah.
And that last scene, like, they're both old, right, in the nursing home. And he's, like, reading this to her. She doesn't remember him or anything like that. She becomes, like, lucid, right, which happens sometimes when you have Alzheimer's. You, like, kind of snap out of it, essentially.
Yeah.
For, like, periods of time. She becomes lucid. She's like, "Oh, Noah, like, I love you." And, like, they're dancing together like they always been. They're both happy. And then she, like, snaps back. And she's, like, freaks out because like, who's this like strange man talking to me, touching me or whatever. It's so sad. So like, you know, the movie does a good job of tugging at your heartstrings and like, you know, painting this picture that is really like evocative. But the key point that Coach Nakamura brings up is that she is engaged. After the war, she like meets this captain from the war and is engaged to him. She's picking out a wedding dress when she sees that Noah rebuilt their house.
Yeah.
And goes back to see him and then sleeps with him, right? She cheated on her fiance in the movie. Okay. And when you're watching it, it's really genius, honestly, writing, because you don't even notice, really, because the viewer is cheering for Noah and Allie to be together, obviously. That's what the whole movie is setting up. So the fact that she's with him, you're excited, and you just ignore the fact. Like it's so easy to just like gloss over the fact that there's a perfectly good guy who was not abusive, had a good job, strong character, all this stuff. Bye.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know what
but
I mean?
But Dave, she didn't love him.
Yeah, that's the argument that you hear.
Come on.
That's the argument.
She didn't love him.
Hear.
They were not in love. Ugh. You know, she found her true love, Noah. And you gotta, when you find true love, you gotta hold on to it. You gotta capitalize on it, no matter if it's your summer fling, no matter if you have a wife and three kids and
and a
community around you of friends.
Yeah.
If you find your true love, you leave all that.
If you're a woman, you can just leave. Yep.
You just leave, and then people are like, "Wait, what happened there?" And you're like, "Oh, that she didn't. She loves this guy, John.
Yeah.
That just moved in next door.
That's like,
oh yeah. Well, duh.
Like, of course.
Why was she wasting her time with this guy?
With this character. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great point from Coach Makamura. Like that. That's one that just like flies under the radar. It flies under the radar. Like, wait a minute. You're caught up in this romantic love story, and you completely missed the fact that the main character cheated on her fiance.
Yeah.
That's, you know, like, and it's crazy. It's crazy that
I'm trying to think of any movies where the man does something similar and it's widely accepted.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any, if anybody's listening to this, you want to comment, you know, throw it in there. I'd be happy to entertain that.
Right. We talked about Silver Linings Playbook, right? What happens in that movie? She cheats on him and harshly, like he obviously he has bipolar. He comes home.
Yeah.
Their wedding song is on.
Yeah.
And she is in the other room with
another teacher from her school.
Yeah. And he obviously goes crazy and like beats him up, which, you know.
Again, he should have been working on himself. He gained some weight.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like,
come on.
And then the whole movie is him trying to get her back.
Yeah.
Right? And like obviously he, you know, you can't beat something crap out of somebody. But we all can like say you shouldn't do that, but also at the same breath, like understand his emotion in that moment.
You know what's funny about that too? Cause if you they paint the man as like, oh, he's like he's gotta get her back and win her back.
Yeah.
And you know, he's gotta put in the work and effort to do all these things, you know, because it's like it's like almost like a reverse dynamics of like there's a pedestal here and you have to earn your right to get up to this upper echelon where she's at.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, no matter what happens, you got to get up there.
Yeah. Get up
there. And you got to put in the time.
Yeah.
You got to put in the effort.
Dive in the work.
So I think it's a great point. I never noticed some of this stuff because again, maybe I was fooled as an audience member.
Yeah.
I think we've talked before, but Me Before You was a recent movie that came out.
Okay.
Blake Lively, and I don't remember the other actor's name.
I haven't seen that one.
But yes, that's the one where she's in the abusive relationship, and then she just leaves. She leaves, and then you know, finds the guy that she had grown up with that she dated in high school or whatever. They had a fling. And you know, you're thinking, oh, they're gonna get back together finally, and she's gonna be with the right guy and all this stuff. And you know, meanwhile, he's like a Shaolin monk.
Yeah.
You know, sitting around for decades is waiting for her to show up.
It Ends With Us.
What did I say?
You said
Me Before You.
Yeah.
Okay. They all sound the same.
Thing.
They're all the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah. Like, oh, this woman's out of my life and I literally have nothing. I can't do anything. I must stay and wait just for in case she comes back. Right?
Yeah.
Just in case she comes back, and if it's the guy she left me for, and she has a kid with him, like I'm gonna take them both in, you know?
Yeah.
And exactly, you're right. He's a monk. He's been meditating.
Have you ever, when you're watching these movies with your wife, have you ever just like looked over and like watched her reactions and her face and stuff when you watch these movies? It's so funny. They're like they're locked in. It's like us watching, you know, the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know, 2 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're like, oh, come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like. She's married.
But I mean, I get why it's appealing, because why if you're like in her shoes, in the woman's shoes, I completely understand why it's appealing.
Yeah.
You're telling me that I can have a safety net waiting for me, have no consequences, really, go do whatever I want, have much fun I want, and then there's of course, that sounds great, where you can just basically do whatever, no consequences. It's gonna work out for you at the end. So like, I mean, I get why, like it's like the romantic, not as like love romantic, but like romanticizing of like that situation of like, it's gonna work out for you kind of no matter what, you know?
They make the guys in these movies seem like it's like a, they're like the dead end job.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, here's this really high paying yeah. job that you've always dreamed of.
Yeah.
Right around the corner. And it's like, oh, yeah. we just offered it to you one day. And it's yeah. like, and if you put it in that context, it's like, oh, everybody would say like, yeah, go for the high paying job that yeah. you're passionate about, that you've worked really hard for.
Yeah.
Don't stay at the dead end job that you have a bad boss and you're not unhappy at.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's a further point to our culture and relationships and marriages mm-hmm. and things like that. But
and I'm sure there's plenty of examples. If you know, if you're watching, you know of an example of like a movie that doesn't follow this criteria. I'm sure there are. There has to be, right? There has to be. You know, there's definitely some confirmation bias on my part where I like notice it when it's like this. You know, so put them in the comments below and maybe you'll be featured on a comment section in the future.
Yeah. Speaking of confirmation biases, we're going to talk today about something that could be divisive, could be not. I don't know. What do you feel, Dave, about the culture in our country around tipping?
Mm.
And in terms of, you know, go to restaurant, hospitality business, service yeah. industry, all things regarding that. And yeah. let me start off with, do you think you're a good tipper? Would you say you're a good tipper?
No, I'm not a good tipper.
Okay.
I tip the minimum amount.
Yeah.
Like the whatever it is, there's like, oh, they give you options now. And the minimum is like 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be like 10, but now it's like 20. I always hit the minimum. Yeah. Always. Almost always. I mean.
I think I would say I'm an average tipper.
Mm.
Do you ever do it like if you ordered something and it's like $8 or something, like pretty like cheap or whatever,
mm-hmm.
do you still apply the same like 20% or whatever your standard rate is that you apply to that, or do you do more because you're like, oh, it was like $7, so I'll round it to 10 or 11?
Nope,
you're still staying standard.
Whatever the minimum.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's reluctant. And like, this is what I don't like about the culture of tipping. It is the culture of tipping itself that's uh-huh. the problem. The yeah. expectation that you must tip. And really, this only really applies to the food, like waiters and waitresses. Everything else, it does not, the expectation for tipping is not as strong in any other industry. It's only that industry where, like, if you don't tip, like, everyone thinks you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you don't tip your housekeepers, because, you know, there's like, you can tip your housekeepers or whatever. Nobody's like, they don't have the same vitriol for you.
Yeah. I feel like, to me, my kind of like standard is, and further to your point, is if you get paid, if I know that you're getting paid at least like minimum wage, mm-hmm. or you're being paid a federal wage, yeah, right? Yeah. Like you have that standard. Then I'm less reluctant to want to tip, or, you know, do the typical 25% or yeah. how was your service? It's like, no, yeah. you're getting paid
yeah.
a wage dictated by the government.
Yes.
You know, it's probably more so, you're probably being paid more than minimum wage.
Most likely.
In whatever you're doing, which everybody should to begin with. I mean, we'll get yeah. on that down the line, but yeah. yes, the restaurant, bars, like all those industries where a lot of people are getting paid the whatever it's called, the server
yeah.
minimum.
Yeah, we're like $2 something.
Yeah.
It just my thing is like, I should not have to pay you ever to do your job, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You should get paid by your employer
yes.
to do your job. It should not become for me, the customer. I will buy, I obviously support you by coming to your business and support you that way by buying the product. But I don't have to buy the product and then buy the service also.
Yeah.
And that to me is crazy. Why should I have to do both of those things? It blows my mind that I have to do these things. And it's just America. It's just an American thing. It's
yes.
not a universal across the world idea. Only thing that we do here.
Yeah. So we'll get further into that. Let me give you a little brief history
okay.
on tipping in terms of American culture. So the origins of tipping come from Europe. It dates back to even 1500s and 1700s. You know, they trace it back to England. But it was adapted by the U.S. after the Civil War. So wealthy Americans are traveling to Europe, who was doing the tipping and everything back then. And they brought the custom back to America. And it was done by, you know, the wealthy. So, but there was a movement in the early 1900s in America where they tried to be anti, they tried to basically abolish tipping.
Okay.
So critics argued, you know, it was undemocratic and a form of bribery.
okay. That's a little too far.
A little, harsh.
Yeah.
So they tried to ban it, but it didn't last. There are early, so after the Civil War, tipping was embraced by employers as a way to avoid paying wages to newly freed black workers and other service,
okay,
indentured servants. And it was mainly in the railroad systems, porters, restaurants. And yeah, basically it was a way to, some of them were not even paid at all. They just lived off of tips.
Sure.
So didn't have the greatest origins how it started in our country. It came from a different countries.
Yeah.
Then brought it back. And then it was a form of not having to pay
your employees, yeah, which it still is. Not because they're a race, but just, yeah, does not have to pay your employees.
The Fair Labor Standards Act, 1938, set a federal minimum.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Wage. But in 1966, Congress allowed tipped workers to be paid less. Today, the federal tipping minimum wage is still $2.13 an hour, which has been unchanged since 1991. So,
interesting.
1966 is when they put that in.
Okay.
So, and yeah, so it's been a way in our country for a long time.
Yeah.
For you know, people in the service industry to not have to pay people.
Yeah.
And you, yeah, know, and to me, you know what I kind of I kind of box it up with like NCAA and NIL money, where it's like, hey, we generate a lot of revenue and we bring in a lot of revenue and everything because of you guys. Yeah, we'll let you guys. You guys can get paid. That's fine. Yeah. We're just not going to do it, right? It's the same thing as like restaurant, yeah, owners and stuff. It's like, hey, you can make a lot of money here doing a lot of stuff. We're just not going to give you that. Like, you have to go do it. And
yeah,
the other part of tipping too, that's that I found interesting and looking up some stuff is, do you, like, not even 100%. So you are serving my table, I leave you a $20 mm-hmm. tip.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's not in cash anymore.
Sure.
So there's a couple things that, that come out of that too. But, so it goes through a system. Well, a lot of places, the restaurants will share those tips between the bussers, the sure. bartenders who serve the drinks to the table.
Yeah.
So the actual server at your table, where you're like, hey, they did a stellar job.
Yeah.
It's going into a pot and being shared with other people for the whole system. So
yeah,
you're basically contributing to this whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
That's, you know, feeding off of your dollar.
Yeah.
That's just like, why are all these people just paid a wage and then they just do a service, yeah, like, you know,
every other job,
like every job. Like,
what do you mean?
Yeah. It, but I'm with you too, where it's like, it's just, it's, it doesn't, tipping to me doesn't ever feel good either. No. Right. Cause it makes me feel like I'm some kind of elitist. Like, hey, you've done a good job. You've done a good job, little boy. Like, yeah, here's some money here. Like,
I don't mind the concept of tipping a principle, right? Again, like, I have no problem. If somebody did a good job, give them extra money. I have no problem with that. But I want that person that, like you just said, I want that person,
yeah,
that did a good job to get all of this money.
Yeah.
I do not want to have to do it. That is what really grinds my gears.
Yeah.
Is that like I have the, you know, delivery drivers who aren't making that money, they expect a tip. And like that even goes into, don't get me started about like places who do nothing and flip that little iPad around and like, hey, do you want to add a tip? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You literally made my drink. That's your job. Yeah. You didn't bring it to me. Like, you refill it. Like,
I parked my car. I walked into the door. Yes. I walked up to this counter. I purchased this item and I'm still standing here at this counter.
Yeah.
You walked right behind you, made this thing, and then handed it to me. And then I had to do all the work to get back out of here. Yeah. And they're like, where's my tip?
Come
it's like,
on.
If you parked my car
yeah.
and opened the door, and if you opened the door and then maybe, I don't know, did some other stuff, like you cleaned my shoes mm-hmm. and
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Introduced me to the new Drake album and something other. Gave me a gum, a piece of gum. I don't know. Yeah.
But even then, if it was expected of me, like if it was like a social pressure, even then they did all that stuff. It was a pressure. It was like a social pressure that made me tip. I would still resent it.
Yeah.
Because again, all those things we're assuming are part of their job, is what they are paid to do.
Yeah.
Like why on earth would I have to, like, if, again, it's arbitrary. We just randomly pick people who you can tip, right? Do you tip your car mechanic?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you can't. I don't know now. Maybe you can't. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, that's a person that I want to do a good job, like, fixing my car. But there's no, like, maybe there is some places, but there's not, it's not, it's definitely not a culture around, like, yeah. Hey, give old Jimmy in there an extra 20 spot because he did my, got my tires done quickly. Why not? He's doing a great, he's doing a service.
Yeah.
He's helping me out. How is his helping me out any less deserving of a tip than somebody who brought me a water and filled it?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand. It's
a strange system, and there's been restaurants who've tried to get away from it.
Yeah.
But it always kind of stems back to it because it's just so ingrained into our culture to do it.
Yep.
And I think it would take a long time, and it would take many years to get that out of our system here, because I mean, there's statistics and stuff that show, like, as Americans, we are 2 to 3 times more likely, we tip 2 to 3 times more than anybody else in the world when we travel and go mm-hmm. places and stuff. So people mm-hmm. love when Americans come around.
Yeah.
But like other countries and stuff, like Japan and Korea, it's insulting to mm-hmm. tip them, because in their culture, it's, if you go into a server or somebody in the, you know, the service industry and did that, no, it's like, that's my job is to do this.
Yes.
You should, like, by you doing this to me, like, I'm insulted.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, because this is my job. Like,
yeah.
I don't need to be paid extra to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we have to go that far.
Yeah.
But yeah, like other countries, even where tipping is accepted, it's far less than ours.
Yeah.
So like Germany, England, like their tipping goes anywhere from like 5 to 10%,
mm-hmm.
and it's welcomed, and it's, and you know, they show gratitude when it happens.
So they're not insulted.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not like it's just like an additional bonus, right?
Yeah. I've had like people like deliver Grubhub or something, and I'm like, don't give them a tip, because like, again, I just, it's so crazy.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
And like, I've had people like, you know, I get my poop like, thanks. And they're like, thanks for the tip. Like, I'm like, uh-huh. Okay. You could just go fly a kite.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I just don't understand.
Uber and Lyft are also, they talk about in Uber and Lyft, one of every six drivers tips. So they're tips anything at all.
Oh, okay.
So that's like, another huge industry that like Grubhub too. Where it's like, yeah, it's, they think that they're entitled to the tip, but it's like,
why?
Who said that? Who came up with this?
You're like, hey, here, Grubhub's like, hey, I'm gonna pay you some money to go pick up the food and deliver it. And you say, great. So you pick up the food and deliver it. You get paid that much money. Why?
Yeah.
And a lot of these, you have to add the tip beforehand.
Yeah.
I'm like, before the food was even delivered to me, I had to add the tip. It could have been 30 minutes late. Could have been wrong. Could have been the wrong order.
Yeah.
I can't go back and grab it back.
Yeah.
So
let's, I think we both agree.
Yeah.
I don't love it either. I don't love the fact that like Chili's or any of these places can offer you these like amazing, here's this amazing deal. You can go eat for $20 with you and your girlfriend or wife.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but also I still have to tip 20%, and it, mm-hmm. and that percentage keeps raising. Who is the person who raises this?
Yeah,
it's like does it go with inflation or something? Like,
yeah.
I don't, because it, you know, I think when I was of, you know, at a growing to adult age, when I was going out to eat and stuff for the first times, like it was like 15%.
Yeah,
and then it like slowly grew to 18. Now it's 20, and I think 20 is the minimum now expected. And I think I think it's slowly glowing. They were talking like it'll be 25% before in the next like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, where do we top this out at? Like, but I guess where I was going with this too is, if what would the fallout or what would the negatives and positives be if tomorrow, you know, you clicked your fingers and we set it in law or whatever in motion,
mm-hmm.
Tipping's done. We don't tip here unless you want to, but exactly. It's not mandatory. Everybody in every industry is paid
minimum wage
or living wage, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Per, you know, your qualifications,
yeah.
Skills, but that's gone. So what do you think the fallout of that would
I mean,
be for our culture in America?
The only thing that would happen would waiters and waitresses would have to completely redo their business model.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that their profits aren't massive and usually, as far as I know, in these restaurants. So obviously that kind of an expense all at once would probably bankrupt a lot of places.
Yeah.
So they would have to completely redo, you know, but obviously it's possible because again, other countries don't do it.
Yeah.
So, and they make it work. So, but I think if you did it like that, I mean, a lot of them would just go on.
Yeah. Like small businesses and stuff would be hurt the worst. It's like anything, any major change that happens to our country, like COVID and stuff like that. It's always the small businesses that get impacted first. Yeah.
They don't have the wriggle room.
But yeah, I think to do a change like that, just a complete flip, it would hurt the consumer like it always does because we would just all these new expenses would be passed on to us.
True. Yes, true. They'd raise the prices a lot. Yeah.
So yes, we would complain about, I got to tip 20%. It was like, well, now they're just going to go across the board and say 20% spike to increase everything.
But I guess it's the same.
Yeah.
Wash. It's a wash. At least it's not some kind of random number. Also, it just dawned on me when we talk about a percentage. Why on earth is it a percentage? Because the idea is I'm paying for the service, right?
Yeah.
So if I order me by myself, if I order a steak that's like $50 or something like that.
Sure.
And a drink, let's say, you know, it's $60 total. Okay. And then, I come in and order $10 worth of food. The service that they're providing me is exactly the same. There's no difference.
Yeah.
They're going to fill my drink just as much. They're going to like clean my plate or whatever. Like take it away.
You got one entree.
One entree. How on earth is it a percentage? Why do I have to pay more? Because my thing is worth more. I get it on a big
table.
It should be per person, not a percentage.
Yeah.
So like if there's a big table, if one person is serving like 10 people,
it's like
some people will add, then they do that too now. They add
gratuity.
The automatic big group surcharge.
Yeah, you gotta watch on that one.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful on that one. They'll sneak that in.
But like the fact that it's a percentage, like maybe somebody can explain that to me, but it's ridiculous. Like again, if the whole thing is that it should be I'm paying for a service that's happening to me. In my scenario that I just described, which really isn't that crazy. Same thing, even if it's five people, like my family, we all order steaks or we all order cheeseburgers. You know, one is $50 a plate, one's $10 a plate. 25% of each of those is a massive difference, right?
Yeah. It wasn't like she cut your steak up
or
he cut your steak up and came back 10 trips versus your cheeseburger. They brought it in one trip.
It's exactly, their service is in those two scenarios are exactly the same.
Yeah.
So it should be like the fact that it should be a flat, if anything, it should be a flat rate. If I'm paying for the service, truly, it should not be a percentage. It should be a solid number.
Yeah.
Whereas like, if it's per person, like the expected is like $5. And it goes the other way too. If I order something like super cheap, right, it should be $5 still, right? Even so 25% of like $10 would only be like what, $2.50?
Yeah.
But it's still $5. So it goes both ways. As in like, even if I order something really cheap, it's to still be that flat rate. Because again, if it's the service that we are in fact paying for, the fact that it's less expensive changes nothing, right? So I literally just thought of that when we were bringing the percentages. I'm like, why is it a percentage?
I don't know.
Like, that doesn't make any sense either. It's random. They're like, we're just going to bilk them for whatever, you know? Like,
yeah. I guess maybe the premise is if you can afford the $60 steak, you can afford the 20% of that to add on to it. I don't know.
That's probably what it is. Because it's kind of like when you spend, like, if you're already spending $500, let's say, and there's like an add on for an additional $25, you'll probably just do it.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're only spending $10 and there's an add-on for $25, you're like no.
Yeah.
That's not it. Because maybe that's it. Like it's just a psychological thing that you're already paying money, so you feel okay paying more.
Yeah.
Maybe. And there's like, well, we can get away with this. We'll do it. But again, if you know, tell me. But I just that percentage seems also ridiculous to me.
Yeah. So I never served.
True. Yeah,
and
I haven't either.
I know you can make good money doing it in short periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think, you know, draws people to do those jobs? It's like, what, just cause it's like fast paced, you can pick up shifts here and there, or you can make good money when I was looking up, it was, you know, on average across the country, and it's different between if you work at high end restaurants and stuff like that versus like Chili's or something. True. But it's like on average servers with tips and their minimum pay or whatever can make like $14 to $20 an hour.
Yeah.
But the, you know, high end steakhouses and stuff like that, they actually get paid an hourly rate mm-hmm. on top because they can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
The place, you know, because their margins are
are
higher. But that being said, if that's me, I'm looking at that, and I guess maybe you start at that like at a college age or something like that, where mm-hmm. you can't, where you need to work off weird hours, right? Because mm-hmm. you're in school and stuff. But I don't know. To me, it's like there's so many jobs out there now that you can make $20 an hour, and be inexperienced and unskilled.
Well, I think that's my the idea is that waiter registering is an unskilled job. And that's not to be offensive to those people, but there's not like a prerequisite years of experience or qualifications or like skill that you have to have before you can get that job.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it, right? So I guess that's the appeal is like you can just, with no experience, no skill, hop into this job, make a lot of money right off the bat.
Yeah.
But why stay in that job? I don't know. I mean, maybe you like the fast-paced nature of it. Maybe you like it's like the day goes by quickly because you're like constantly moving. I mean, I'm sure you get a lot of steps in, you know, like you get a decent amount of exercise because you're moving so much.
Sure.
The
flexibility and scheduling and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, and people in, you know, those are jobs are always available. Always. Every company, every restaurant is pretty much always looking for servers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been interested in a job like that ever. So.
Yeah.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
It is interesting though, because there are some states that have shifted from that and gotten rid of the tipping minimum wage or whatever, the server minimum wage. And so like, you know, a lot of the, what I was reading, the West Coast states, so your Oregon's, California's, have gotten rid of that.
Yep.
So they're getting paid a minimum wage or higher, whatever, you know, the place they work at dictates.
Yep.
So I think there's a shift into it somewhere, but there has been, I was reading, I always get this mixed up. Is the generation, who's the Z? Is it?
So we're millennials.
Millennials.
Generation Z is below us.
Z. Okay. So it's Z. Z is getting pretty upset. I like how Z is coming in and they're like, wait, everything's expensive. What's going on? We're like, yeah, dude, welcome to real life. Yeah.
Everyone has that realization.
Yeah. So it's funny to me that like, you know, they're saying that like, oh, everybody else was cool when they got out of college and got a job and they're like, wait, everything's really expensive. Like, yeah, no, everybody's done.
Everyone had that.
But they are talking about like Generation Z has showed a strong feelings towards the tipping culture and it's gotten out of hand. I'm like, well, I think that's everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you can't go anywhere. And it did not used to be like that, but you can't walk outside and do a lot anymore without something coming up saying like, here, do you want this tip?
Yeah.
Do you want to put the tip in? You know, wait, well, that came out wrong. Well, do you know?
Yeah.
Answer the question. Oh man.
Oh,
that's good stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyways.
But hey, listen, I always tip. So don't come after me. I always tip at like sit down places.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, the only reason is because I feel like I have to.
Yep.
And not doing it only hurts the servers.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault.
No, right?
It's not their fault. It's the system. Like this whole thing has been existing.
Those system sucks
beyond them. So like, I'm not gonna sit here and like take a stand because I'm not hurting the people who need to feel the pain.
Sure,
right. The only people that are feeling it are the servers. I always tip, begrudgingly and the minimum, but I do always tip.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad too because I feel bad even if the service is subpar. Yeah. I will still tip what I'm supposed to tip because again, I just feel obligated and I feel bad. So yeah, I can be strong-armed into doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm never excited
about it.
I'm never happy about it. Yeah, it's like I'm just like, here's more money.
That's funny.
Here you go.
That's funny. All right, what do you think about tips? Comment below. Matt, what's next?
So we're going to get into, we left off last time.
Ah, yes.
And this is what actually This is what actually sparked this debate.
Oh, that's right. There was a tipping question last time.
Yes, and we were doing jerk or no jerk. Dun, dun, dun. We have to put some imaging in.
Yeah.
Ready, go.
No, I'm not doing that.
All right, so let's just hop right into it.
So real quick, remind us of the rules.
So the rules, we were doing a scaled system.
Okay.
And I was giving Dave a scenario, and he would have to tell me on the scaled system of, were we doing that with this one?
Yeah. Hold on. It's on my...
Were we doing 0 to 10?
Yeah, one is it? Yeah, 0 being like not a jerk at all. Okay. And a 10, you said a 10 is you go to jail.
10's you're in jail.
Yeah.
Locked up. Okay, good. That's how I remembered. All right. So we covered the rules. I think we're ready to go. You ready to hop into it?
Hit it.
All right. All right. So here we go. Not using a turn signal.
This one gets me. And I don't know if it's where I live. I don't know if it's Wichitans or Kansans or what, but... I really dislike that, actually, that's a 7 or an 8 for me. That's a higher one,
but that's also like kind of, it's like a safety thing too. Yeah, it's like, hey, you're putting everybody at risk here. I don't know where you're going.
Because
a lot of times if you're meeting somebody at a four-way stop or something like that, you're going in an intersection, I have to know where you're going.
Yep.
Because if you're going right and you don't, and you know that, okay, I'm safe to turn here. If I don't, mm-hmm. and you just choose whatever direction you want.
Yeah, it's like
we're all in danger.
It happens all the time. It's like, oh, you're turning here. And you know what I mean? Like, oh, you're turning? Okay.
Yeah.
I would say it's like, I wish there was some way to signal to each other that you're turning. I wish that existed.
It hits me every time too. Somebody does a turn.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't really impact me.
Yeah.
And they do a turn without the turn signal. I'm like, well, nice turn signal, buddy. You know, it always comes out of my mouth no matter what.
It's so easy. It is so easy. Like, yeah. It is not like it's like his whole, like, it's like wind down and like, you know, like,
yeah,
put a, you know, cables into another cable, uh-huh. and like solve a math equation.
You're doing coding.
It's literally this or this. You flick it. That's it's it. So easy.
Flick it or ticket.
Flick it or ticket.
All right, so what number did you give that one?
I'm giving it an 8.
8, okay. An 8,
that's a high jerk move, in my opinion.
Okay, I'm with you on that one. Reclining your seat all the way back on an airplane.
There's a lot of debate. I've actually heard a decent amount of debate on this topic.
Yeah.
I don't fly very much.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not something that's, like, really big to me. Like, I've heard both sides. I've heard, like, I pay for this seat, therefore I can do... If the seat can recline, I should be able to recline.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, like, well... You know, like, then the person behind you, like, can't use their, like, table or whatever. Yep. And, like, they have, like, no leg room. So, for me, I would say it's a jerk move to, I think it's a jerk move to lean back.
Yeah.
But not, like, a massive jerk move.
Yeah.
I would say, like, a 5, maybe a 6 at the most.
Okay. I don't fly a lot either. And I can see what people are saying, where, like, why does this recline if I can't recline it then?
Yeah.
But you could apply that to a lot of different things, right?
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, it's this common courtesy towards your fellow man.
Yeah.
And if that it would be the definition of a jerk, being considerate of others.
Because how much better does it make your flight, right? Like, how much does it raise, like, say your flight's at a 5. Does leaning back, what does it raise it to? Like a 6?
Yeah.
But, like, if somebody leans back onto you, it takes your 5 and brings you down to like a 1.
Sure.
Like, I can't put my computer, I can't eat, put my drink on here, I can't do anything. Yeah. I'm like, I have no space at all. Like, I think that to me, it tips the scale to be a jerk move.
Okay. Playing loud videos on your phone in a public space.
Didn't we talk about, this
was similar, yes.
I think it was a speakerphone, was the last one.
Yeah, it was like speaker, well, I think it's like playing music.
Okay.
But this is kind of similar, but this is applying to airports. This is like driving and travel, but yeah, it's like playing loud videos on your phone in an airport. But I think in general, you could say like...
Yeah. Whatever I said from the last one, I probably say the same thing for this one. This one might be a slightly less of a jerk move, because if it's music, it's music, and it's not like your random conversation. Still though, like, yeah, dude, you should have got headphones. Like if that's me, I'm even at the airport, probably I'm buying that overpriced headphone at the vending machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, you can't even hear it very well too. Like even for you, like the person that's playing it in that environment, you can't really hear it very well. You're like listen like this and like this. Yeah. So
I don't see it very often.
No.
And I do think like, okay, you're kind of being inconsiderate, but
yeah.
it doesn't really bother me because I have my headphones most of the time wherever I'm at.
Yeah.
So I just put them in. I'm like, yeah, dude, whatever. Like we're not in a library, so knock yourself out.
If it's a place where like there's a lot of noise going on anyway, that's probably okay. It's just like, it's just kind of weird when you're walking down, like I'm thinking like walking down the supermarket, playing your music, like blaring your music. That would be more of a jerk move because like, it's a quiet, it's more of a quiet environment. It's like, you're really just like nobody else really matters here. In an airport, everyone's doing their own thing, you know, like everyone has their own kind of thing, so it's probably less invasive.
Okay. All right, we're going into food and drink.
Okay.
Okay, so asking, let's say you're at Olive Garden. Been to Olive Garden before?
Yep.
You a fan?
I'm when I'm there, I'm family.
Yeah, dude, you're with Vin Diesel there.
They have good breadsticks. Their food's okay. Their breadsticks are great. Everything else is okay.
I'm a big Italian food person.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but it's definitely not my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite. And
so this one pertains kind of to that. So asking the waiter for 10 extra free refills of the breadsticks. I guess you could say the same thing to like Red Robin or something.
Infinite
too.
Fries.
Yeah.
Infinite chips.
Like you basically exploiting the free.
Yeah, I think it's a jerk move. Anytime you're exploiting it, I think, and you make it, you ruin it for everybody when you do that, right? Like, because now, you know, they used to give you like breadsticks as soon as you got there, no matter what.
Yeah.
And then people started going in and ordering water, eating breakfast and leaving.
Right?
So like you're same thing with a lot of these different things, like things that are free or like really, really cheap and people exploit it because that's what people do. And now it's expensive, or they don't give it to you right away, or they give you less. Yeah. And like,
if you're eating it and you're not wasting it, my thing would be if you're ordering it and not even eating it, like to waste it. Yeah. I think that's a jerk move. But if you, now would I get 10 extra orders of breadsticks? Probably not. I wouldn't be able to even eat all that.
Yeah.
But if I did it 3 or 4 times, I mean, it's free, and I've been eating it.
Yeah, but I think the answer is 10.
Yeah, 10 is a jerk move.
10 is a jerk move.
10 is a lot.
How many are in each one? They're like 5 or 6 or whatever in each one.
Yeah.
So you're like 60 breadsticks, and you are taking advantage. You're still taking advantage.
Yeah.
Like again, they offer this as a complimentary, like for their guests, and like it makes like it's a selling point. But if you go there and eat all of them. You're not going to jail. It's not a 10, but you're a jerk.
You have a lot of shame either. That's kind of like, I'd be like kind of embarrassed.
Yes.
Right.
There needs to be more of that. There's even more. People should feel like
a limit.
Should feel. No, there's a lack of shame.
Sure.
Of that type of shame in the world. And like, you should feel bad for being like, oh, you know what? Like, this is kind of, I could do this. It's not illegal. I should be like, I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm taking advantage.
Yeah, I'm taking advantage. So I would say that's kind of a jerk move. I would say that's a 7. I call it a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Surprising. I thought that'd just be like, oh, they're offering it for free. Who cares?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. We got some good ones out of that. Asking for a taste of everyone else's dish at the table. Hey, can I try that? That looks good.
I mean, that's like, no, I think that's a high one. That's an 8. Yeah. Especially if they're not your family. Especially if they're not your family, even if they are your family, it's not, I would say it comes down quite a bit.
Yes.
If it's like your husband or wife, like, I wouldn't call that a jerk move, but if it's like you're at a work event and you're like, hey, can I have try some of that? No. And again, that's another thing I was talking about before, about the norm of obligation that we have in the United States.
Yeah.
We're like, it basically means when somebody asks you something, the norm is for you to say yes. That is what is expected.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have problems in our culture saying no, and like, because they feel bad, they feel like they have to say yes.
Yeah.
So people know that they take advantage. They'll ask you a question that they know you don't want to do, or they either know that or they don't care.
Yes.
Right. Like, they're just gonna ask you, and they're gonna use this norm of obligation maliciously.
Hey, do you want to tip me?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, if I'm at your house, you know, I think that was before. If I'm at your house and I'm like, hey, Matt, do you mind if I go take a nap on your bed? Right? That to me, like, even like you when you're like, no, but you would feel bad. You would feel weird. You'd feel like you have to somehow accommodate that weird request.
Yeah.
Because that's the world, that's like the culture that we live in.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like this is is analogous to that, where
analogous,
you are.
That's a good word.
Yeah. So I don't know. What was the exact wording again?
Asking for a taste of everyone's dish.
Exactly.
At the table.
So again,
I don't know if that's happened to me, but that would be weird.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
That'd be weird. That somebody just like without boundaries, I feel like.
Exactly.
Also.
And now I have to, again, you have to be the bad guy. I have to like take that step of like, no, yeah. I don't want you to, you know what I mean? Most people would say like, no, I don't really feel comfortable with that. Or like, oh, I'm sick. You know, trying to make some kind of excuse to like make it like soften their no. When the villain is the person that asked, and they always have this like plausible deniability of like, I'm just asking. Oh, it's just a question. It's like, no, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you need to understand social environments better.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
And I know you've probably had these same conversations with your wife and stuff when somebody asks something and you're like, hey, so-and-so just asked me this, but like, now I got to be the bad guy and be like, no, because I'm not comfortable with that. Like, it sucks when people put you in the position to be the bad person.
Exactly.
And it's not fair. And it's like, you know, you need to be more considerate and not be a jerk.
Yep.
And you know, overreach there.
Absolutely.
I've always thought about this one. I'm guilty of this at times. I'm curious to see your response on this. You're at the grocery store. You grab something. You're a few aisles away. You change your mind. Maybe you're like, I actually needed this instead.
Yep.
Are you putting it right where you're at? It came from aisle 10. You're on 18. Are you just dropping it at 18 and moving on, or are you going back to 10?
So I'm going back to 10.
I knew you would.
And this is the reason. I worked in retail.
Yeah.
I worked in retail for a while. I actually worked at Toys R Us back before it went out of business.
Yeah.
And you can imagine in a toy store where there's kids and there's stuff.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Ever gets put back, right? Because it's grabbing it and like put it back here.
Yeah.
And like parents are like, oh no, we're not taking that, and they just put it on the shelf like wherever they happen to be. It's not like a massive jerk move, right? It's not like it's my job as the employee of the store to keep the store clean. It's not your job as the customer. But it's not like a high one, but it's definitely, I would say it's like a 6.
Sure.
Depending on how often you do it and depending on like how much of a rush you're in.
Yeah.
Like if you're not in a rush at all and you're like, I don't need these things. I just think that's a little bit like, I don't know. It's just kind of like,
how bad is it too? Like, do you have a gallon of milk and you're in the can section and you just left the gallon of milk? You're like, the milk's going to go bad. Like now come on.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, I'm gonna go back and put it back.
Yeah.
You know? I completely understand it. I don't think it's, I have to get on my wife for leaving stuff, putting stuff at the grocery store, just like putting it back on the shelf where it doesn't belong.
Yeah. You got to be better than that. Be better, please. You know what one that pops in my mind sometimes is like going to a clothing store and you're going to like try on some clothes.
Yeah.
Right. You grab like 3 pairs of pants because a lot of times like, oh, like, all right, I'm gonna like these pants. I don't know which ones will fit, so I'm going to grab like 3 different sizes. So I know I got it right, so I don't have to keep coming back in here. And then you see like the pile of all these clothes and stuff, like these people
yeah.
that these people have to put back. I mean, it's kind of, well, and it's like that's expected. Like you try them on, you leave them here, and then we go put them back. But that's one where I will do my best at, okay, these two pairs didn't fit. I like this pair, and I'll do my best to go back and put them back. Cause I see their pile, I'm like, God, that is a like that can't be fun.
Yeah.
So that's one similar
for sure.
This is
why I think everyone at some point in their life needs to work a job like retail or like food service or like something where you are dealing with
general public customer facing.
Yes. not like corporate customers or
everybody's
not
nice.
Like that. Yeah. No, like general public, regular people coming off the street. General public.
Yeah.
Right.
And how do you think that would help this common decency?
100%.
Okay.
Cause like because of this, I talked about tipping before, I don't like tipping, but I have almost unlimited patience for wait staff. Like I've never been upset or like say this takes too long. Like I get it. I understand. I haven't done that job, but I've been in retail where like somebody calls off, two people call off work. You have four people, the entire store.
Yeah.
You just can't, you don't have enough, you know, you can't do everything quickly.
Hey guys, it's Dave in the editing booth from the future. I had to cut in here because it happened. We had our first technical glitch when we were recording, and starting like right now, my camera just stopped recording for the rest of the episode. So unfortunately, my camera's gone. You're just going to be looking at Matt's beautiful face for the rest of the episode. If you're listening on audio, then obviously this won't affect you. But I wanted to come in just to explain what's going on, and we'll get back to it.
Right? So like I have so much grace for people in those jobs because I've done the job and I've been in their shoes. So it's like really, I think it's really valuable for everyone to work at Chick-fil-A, right? Work at McDonald's, Taco Bell, Brahms, Walmart, someplace like that where you get how it, like you don't, people don't treat you right. They treat you like you're a slave.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? They don't, like, you're just like I can say whatever I want to you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So like, I think being in those roles, like, really helps. You get the correct perspective.
You know where I went. Areas. You know where I went to today, and I showed grace.
Yeah,
as best I could, but it was almost expected what happened to me because of where I was at.
Yeah,
I went to go get fast food for Emmett during lunch because he stayed home sick, and I stopped by the famous Wendy's off of Kellogg.
Dude, how many times have I told you that's the worst Wendy's in the country, my dog? It is so bad. Dude, I was joking about this Wendy's. It's so funny because you go there and there are no cars.
No.
Right? And it's like, how? There's workers here. There's nobody. There's not a single car.
Yeah.
And you're like, but
you question if it's open.
Is it open?
Is it open? And you're like, it's 2 p.m. on Tuesday. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're open.
And again, no cars, nobody in the drive-thru, no cars in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You get in the drive-thru window and like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hold on a second. What are you doing?
I pulled up today. There's one car in line. Same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, question, are they open? I'm going to try it out. One car in line. They go through. The lady immediately goes, we're short staffed today. So I'm just asking if you could please be patient with me. And of course I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Like I should have known I'm here at this Wendy's. And then I said, it was like 11:15. Don't they serve breakfast?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know when they open, but it's like 11:15.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, yeah, can I also get a chocolate frosty? And she goes, we just started the machine, so no frosties yet. So sorry. Like they just cranked the machine on.
I gotta look at the hours now. The Wendy's off Kellogg.
But yeah, I'm like, did you guys are right across the street from McDonald's, man. Like the one thing that Wendy's has over McDonald's is like, you always have a Frosty. Like you're never walking away from Wendy's without a Frosty.
Dog, they open up at 6:30.
Why didn't they turn the Frosty machine on? Emmett was really disappointed in me, dude. Like I let him down as a father because I didn't bring him home a Frosty.
Dude, and that's what I'm telling you. I get off. I like it's so convenient. It's right off the highway.
It's an amazing location.
Great location. And you just get back on.
Yeah.
Dude, I go the extra block. I get off. I go two blocks over to freaking Central and Tyler.
Oh, so you're just never. You're just like,
nope. I'm not going there. Yeah. I've been there too many times.
I was right by there because I was leaving work to go do that and to go on the way home. And the minute I pulled up and she told me that, I was just like, man, Dave tried to tell me, dude, I need to listen to
Dude, even though we're actually like roasting them right now.
Yeah.
I will never say anything to them.
No, I didn't either.
Never. Right? Even though I'm the only guy that's been at this Wendy's today, probably the whole day. I'm the only customer, and it took me 45 like an hour.
Yeah.
While I'm watching the McDonald's across the street, like zips through 100 cars, and I'm 50 people went through.
Yeah. Yes. I'm still sitting here at Wendy's, dude, and the frosting machine hasn't even been turned on.
even then, I'm like, they're like, sorry for the wait. I'm like, don't worry about it. Here's my card. No, all good. No worries. All good. No problem. Thank you. Leave. Right? I just don't understand getting super angry. Right? Like, I don't think you have the right to yell or treat these people.
Sure.
Even if they're doing a bad job, you don't have the right to yell and scream at them.
Yeah. Unless they did something to disrespect you.
Yes.
Or something of that manner.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we discussed that. all right, so here's a good one. Bringing your dog to places that clearly dogs shouldn't be. So this is kind of a new thing. I feel like dogs are more welcome at a lot of places now. And then you have service animals and all this stuff. I'll just shut up and listen to you.
10. It should not be allowed. You should not be allowed to bring your animal into a place that is not for animals.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean literally every single place. Unless a Petco, literally it's a place for pets.
Yeah.
Right? A place for, Petco, PetSmart, things like that. I mean, that makes sense. They literally have live animals in there. No problem. That's it. Anywhere that's inside of a building, no pets allowed. Do not bring your pet in here.
Dang, not even Home Depot?
No. Nope.
Or Lowe's?
Nope. No. Absolutely not.
Mm.
Nope. There's no reason. Again, if it's a service animal, and I mean a service dog only, nothing else, service dog.
What about a therapy animal?
Nope. Nope. I'm all about mental health, right? All about it. Absolutely not.
What about
absolutely not. Nope. There should not be any animals inside public places.
Yes.
There shouldn't be. They pee, they poop, they bark. They're just general uncleanliness.
Yeah.
Like, again, you can go without your animal for a few minutes. Like animals survive and they can go without you for a few minutes. They survive without humans.
Have I ever told you a story when my dad first met Ashley's dad, my wife?
When your dad first met her dad?
Yes. When my dad first met my father-in-law.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. Maybe.
Yes. So, so my father-in-law owned a business. He's retired now.
Okay.
But first time my dad is meeting my father-in-law, I show up to the business, and I was there doing something, and my dad was coming to conduct business with my father-in-law for his car.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the door open, and I'm standing inside my father-in-law's business, a place that he provides for his family. Yes. And is very passionate about.
You have told me this.
Yes. And I see the door open, and I see my dad's dog coming in with him.
Was it Duke?
Duke.
It was Duke.
Yeah. I see my dad rolling into my father-in-law's business, and I'm dating his daughter at the time. We're not married. You know, we're not serious or anything yet. And I just look over my father-in-law's face, and it was not good.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Dad, you're killing me here, man.
That full-size wiener dog.
Yeah. And then my dad, I think my dad takes him off the leash. And he's just roaming around, sniffing stuff. And this is my father-in-law's showroom and all this stuff.
What business was it?
Car audio systems and home entertainment and stuff. So he has this nice...
Electronics.
Electronics, yeah. So he has this nice showroom.
Yes.
Right? And my dad's strolling in with Duke. Duke's just rolling in, man. Full-size wiener dog, standard. Not the small ones.
Yes, standard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's how the whole time I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's it. Well, again, let's go back to that norm of obligation. That's exact. It's another perfect example.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to bring my dog into your place, and now I'm going to put the burden on you. You have to say to me, right, which is the father of your, daughter's boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
I have to say to you, please take your dog and get out.
Take your animal out of here.
Like, again, you get that. You're putting that on the other person, making them do it. And people should be more considerate than that. They should understand the social norms
of our society.
Yeah.
And I do think, honestly, it's a generational thing. Like you said, it's your dad. That I don't see people in the millennial generation do this or lower do this like at all. Like we don't send stuff back, like food back. We don't like, but older than us, X, and especially boomer, absolutely.
But I see it all the time. Have they grown into that worldview or mentality?
He's given less F's. They run out of F's to give.
So we just talked earlier, we're saying Gen Z is like, hey, everything's expensive. We're not dealing with this.
Yeah.
And we're just like grown to be like, yeah, everything's expensive. What are we going to do, you know?
Yeah.
So we think we grow into phases.
Eventually you stop caring about what other people think at all, maybe. And you're just like, I don't care. I want to bring my dog and I'm going to put the onus on you to make me get
the explanation of like how grown men's lack of clothing and gyms and locker rooms.
Oh, that's for sure that. Yeah. Oh yeah. Every human's born with a certain amount of F's to give and you're running out eventually.
They're like brain cells.
Yeah.
They just, or taste buds on your tongue.
It's funny because I've met some children who've like, oh, she was only born with about five F's. She's out of them already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Wow, that's not good. Borrowing somebody's phone charger without asking. You see an open charger, you just grab it, plug your phone in.
Probably like a 6 or 7.
Okay.
It's definitely a direct move. He's borrowing anything without asking.
Yes.
To me, because you know me, like I'm hesitant to even like, I've been go hang out at your house all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And like I know that you have no problem with me going using your restroom. I asked you 100% of the time, every single time. Like I'm never gonna go like into your house without asking you. Or like I know you're like, oh, you're always like, if you need want a drink, like go get a drink from the fridge or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but I will never just go do that ever. That's a me thing though.
You are very polite about stuff like that. Like, I've noticed.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. That's probably just a me thing. But I'm very uncomfortable like using anything of anybody else's like without like explicit.
Yeah.
Permission.
Yeah, you have very good etiquette when it comes to stuff like that. I'll give you that.
But I know people get upset. I'm not upset, but like people get, it's kind of funny. I remember I stayed with my buddy in college for like a week because like my place wasn't ready, my apartment, and like I would always ask to get a cup to get like water, and he's like, Dave, you can get a cup whenever you want. Do not ask me for a cup. It was Alex washes these sometimes.
Yeah.
And,
shout out to Alex.
And I kept asking him every time. And he's like, you know what, Dave? No, actually, because you asked me, you cannot get a cup.
Yes.
So anyway.
That's awesome. This is a good one. And I'll get your take on it because I have a take. Somebody who's always showing up late.
Mm.
And it adds a preface of never apologizing for it. But I would just say in general, somebody who shows up late to things. Is that a jerk move?
I don't think apologizing for it makes it any better, actually.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
No.
It makes it a little, I mean, like, I would say that you're at least acknowledging you're acknowledging it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really make it better, in my opinion. If you're constantly late, it is definitely a jerk move.
Thank you.
It's a high one, actually. It's probably maybe one of the highest ones on this list.
Yes.
Is like an 8 or a 9, actually, because when you show up late, you are implicitly saying my time of the person who's late is more important than your time.
Yes.
you're saying whatever I was doing, I had is more important than whatever yes. you were doing because you stopped what you were doing to get to what we planned on at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be bothered to do that.
Yeah.
Right. I had to finish whatever it was I was doing to get there. It's a disrespect for other people yes. and other people's time.
And these are yeah, and it's fine if it's every now and then yes. or something.
Of course, everyone's late sometimes.
And I always get the, you know, everybody's busy, has multiple kids doing stuff or whatever. For sure. But I always go back to, yes, you do not, when you're late all the time to everything, you do not respect whoever it is time
yep.
that you're on.
Correct.
Somebody said, hey, can you be here at 2?
Yep.
And then you show up at 2:30. Mm-hmm. You weren't respecting that person's time.
Nope.
Right? Like you said, my time is more valuable than yours. Yep. Therefore, I don't respect
yep.
your time.
For sure.
And if somebody... It's different if somebody's not a repeat offender, or even if you do it every now and then, if somebody says like gives you the heads up, hey, I'm running late because I'm doing this or that, like well ahead of time. Yep. I think that's different than yes. you just unannounced.
Yes.
Showing up 15 minutes late, 20, and like me and you both coach.
Yeah.
People showing up late to stuff again, unannounced, and it happens frequently.
Yeah.
There's a pattern there, right? And yep. it's like that showing up late to practices or games and stuff really traps me.
Yep.
If it's unannounced, and it's just like my wife tries to talk me down off limb, like,
yeah.
hey, everybody, yeah. you know, everybody's doing, and I'm like, no, like at the you know at our game last week, and yeah. I'm like, hey, like we're starting the game. I told people to be here at a certain time.
Yeah.
Here's my lineup. I'm missing two girls.
A game for sure. A
like,
game really
I'm missing
is,
two girls. Like yeah. I had all this mapped out and I don't know where they're at and I got to redo yep. this whole plan that I spent 15 minutes on.
Yeah.
But anyway, that just bugs me.
For sure.
It bugs me to be late.
Yep.
Because again, I'm thinking the same whole time thing. Like, hey, I'm this person's like, oh, it's fine. It's no big deal. It's like, no, yeah. I'm bothered because yeah. I'm late to this because yep. I'm being disrespectful.
For sure.
It means that I don't care about what's going on, right? I'm just barging into life. And
yeah.
So I feel very strongly about that one. Yeah. So I'm glad.
I'm 100% on board with that. Sometimes like my practice for basketball is at 5:30. So I know like 5:30 is tough. 5:30 is difficult. It's like you get off at 5, it's difficult. Like, so I completely understand. But there's sometimes like it's like at a weekend. At like 10, and it's like, I know, I get it. I have kids too, and like, but you can be here. Oh, this is what I was gonna say. I bet these people, right, who are always late, if I said, I'll give you $1,000. If you're here on time, I'll give you $1,000. Guess how many times they'd be late?
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee you
yeah.
they would find a way to get there on time
yeah.
if I would give them $1,000 every single
time.
If
you put stakes on it, right?
Well, like, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's the same thing as what you're saying. Like, hey, if you're late to today's game, you don't get to play in it.
Yeah.
Like, your kid doesn't play sure. in the game if they're late.
Yeah.
They would be there.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
So, yes. Here's another good one. Letting your dog bark outside for hours.
I hate it. I literally hate it. I hate it so much. And my dogs bark outside. But here's the thing. I didn't want dogs. So, that's what gets me. But yeah. So I don't like it. It's not, maybe not 10, but like for hours, not bark at all. Cause the dogs bark. That is how they like communicate. Yeah. Like that is a society. Like, you know, I'm not a huge dog fan, but I completely understand that people like dogs and dogs are going to bark occasionally.
Yeah,
I get it. But if they're outside for like an hour, even 1 hour, even
30 minutes,
yeah. of like constant barking. Like when I hear my dogs barking, it immediately stresses me out.
Yeah.
And I run out here and I knock on the window and I'm like, and then they bark. I would knock on the window and I'm like, I have this little bark thing that I put out there. Like
nice.
I like try to, but like that, you know, my dog specifically, like that's in their nature. That
yeah.
like barking is like part of who they were made to be. And they hate they're miniature dachshunds and they hate small animals.
Yeah.
So birds, right? Squirrels, rabbits, anything like that. They're like, hey, F you. You know yeah. what I mean? Is all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a high one for sure. Especially if you have like a big, deep voiced dog.
Yes.
Right? Like my dogs have a higher pitched bark because they're small. So it doesn't travel as far right? Because the higher frequency doesn't travel as far as low frequencies do. Like low frequencies can like whales can communicate for miles because like it's really low, or like elephants, like really low frequency sounds. Yes. So like if you like have a deep, powerful barking dog, that can be heard for 6 miles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like your neighbors probably can hear it.
Yes. This one's big for me. I think, again, we live in neighborhoods and you're not out in the country by yourself. It's mm-hmm. like there's some things you just take on.
Sure.
That there's going to be noises. Dog's one of them. Mm-hmm. When your dog comes out and they bark for a little bit or whatever, it doesn't bother me. If it's anything longer than like 15 minutes straight mm-hmm. of a dog barking, mm-hmm. then it's like, okay. And you've been told,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, your dog does this.
Yeah.
And I think that's it's like a 9.
Okay, that's 9.
It's a 9, yeah. Because it's like there's other people here, and for you to knowingly know what your dog does,
yeah,
and to allow it just to bark its head off,
yeah,
it's like you just don't care about other people, I guess.
I don't. That's a wild part of dogs' like psyche and also their anatomy. How can they bark like? How can they like create that loud of a sound for an hour?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we're just talking for an hour. And I'm like, okay, I got to take get some water.
I
got to
keep a water around me. Yeah.
But
can you imagine yelling?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's yelling. for an hour. And they're not tired or anything.
Like, so I live behind you. So I'd be like me being on my back deck and just being like, Dave, 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 Dave. Dave,
for an hour.
Until you just come outside, dude.
Yeah,
and then maybe you don't. I'm just like, well, maybe he's not home.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Colin.
Oh, that's funny, man.
Oh, that's good.
We've kind of covered this one. Borrowing tools from a neighbor and forgetting to give them back.
Yeah. We talked about this. You know what? No, it's funny about this.
Some of these are...
I'm pretty sure I have like 2 of your shovels.
And oh my God.
I can't ask him if I have it. I can't even say it now because he's going to hate me forever.
You know that upsets me.
I'm pretty sure Chelsea borrowed them to like dig out the trees in the backyard.
Because
like I thought they were maybe Scott's, Chelsea's dad, because he lent us a lot of tools also, but he was over the other day. He's like, no, those aren't mine. I'm like,
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
I'll have to go look. I don't think so. Cause okay. I think he asked, I think, she asked Ashley, and I think we didn't have the one she needed or something. May be okay.
I will see. I'm
gonna see you sneaking over to my house to put it back in my shed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, what are you doing? here's this one: taking up 2 armrests at a movie theater.
I think it depends. I mean. So, yeah, usually like, what the right one? Everybody gets the one on the right.
Yeah,
that's like I guess it's kind of like the thing like with your right. Everyone gets the right armrest. So I guess if you're
is that
on
true,
I don't know. That's when I was growing up and went to the movies. Decent amount like that was always like what we did. Like everyone gets the right armrest is yours.
Yeah.
So if you're on the edge, you're just lucky you get the left one too. I don't think that's a huge jerk move. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any strong feelings about that one.
Okay. Really. That's
what
fair.
Do you think?
I think it depends on who you are. Like if you're like a big dude,
yeah.
Like you're naturally your arms are already there. If you're like a small woman or a child, maybe it's different because it's like you don't need all that space. So I think it depends on your size and stature.
I think if you're taking like some have cup holders, like if you use both cup holders, that's a jerk move.
Yeah.
Like for sure. Like if you're like, I'll put my drink here, my candy, my popcorn in this one. Like you're taking
just posting up.
That one, that's a jerk move, but just like putting your, like resting like your elbow on it. I don't think that's a problem. I don't know. Just, I don't know. It doesn't really bother me, I guess.
Okay. Last one.
Okay.
Cutting in line to go get utensils or a straw or something like that. You forgot. Like say you're going through a line at like a wedding or something like that. And you forgot a fork.
That's a 0 for me.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me at all.
That wouldn't bother me either.
Nope. And you know, I try not to be hypocritical. I do this all the time. So I can't think that it's a jerk move because if I did, I wouldn't do it. And I do actually I for sure wouldn't, because anything that I think is a jerk move,
yeah,
I specifically don't do those things.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I have, again, it's like, oh sorry, real quick, and just grab it and leave. I mean, why would that? I don't know.
I think 96% of the time I'm in any type of food line. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I'm like blind to the silverware.
Yep.
I will go through, dude. I get my plate loaded up and I make sure everything on the plate's good and everything. I might even grab like a napkin or something. Uh-huh. But then when I go sit down, I'm like, I didn't even grab a fork or anything to eat with, man. And I'm like, where was that even at? And it's like, boom,
at
right
the
there.
Beginning, usually.
Very beginning. And I just walked right past it.
I don't know. I think it's something to do with it being at the beginning.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah.
That is why
should
I
it be at the end?
Maybe.
Maybe we should change that.
Yeah. Like put it at the end. Cause like at the end, you know what kind of food you have.
Yes.
Before you know what
so
kind
know
of
what you need.
New things that you need. Yeah.
Wow, dude. Yeah. I think we just came on. I think we just did something here.
We just fixed everything.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. I never thought about it that way. I don't think I would forget it if it was at the end.
Yeah, at the end, because like you got everything you need, like wrapping up, because the drinks are there too, right? Because the drinks wouldn't be first. That would be also be like that would be you'd be balancing this like
that'd be hard
full thing of water where you're trying to like because I don't know.
We maybe should change that, man. We should start a movement. Yeah,
forks at the end.
Yeah, forks at the end, not in the front. Forks.
We'll workshop it.
Get the forks out of here.
Yeah.
Put them in the back. yeah.
Cool, man. Hey, well, I think that was great. We're making good time. So
yeah, we covered a lot today.
Yeah.
Tipping, hypocrisy in women. Oh, you know what I forgot to say about that?
Yeah.
Is I think, you know where I think this stems from maybe?
Okay.
I think we may be able to blame Disney for this.
Mm.
I think maybe it stems from like girls grow up watching the princess you know, like Sleeping Beauty or any of these others. And it's like, there is the Prince Charming out there. And it's like, if you haven't quite fully met you know, this guy's 85% of my Prince Charming that I wanted, but he does these other things that aren't, or maybe this or that, but there's still that Prince Charming out there. But then we fast forward into The Notebook and the summer fling happens.
The summer fling. It's just a fling.
So I was going to say that earlier. I forgot to say it. So I'm going to throw that out there. Maybe Disney's the problem.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's just like a romanticized, like the whole idea of like a soulmate, right?
Yeah,
like there's like someone that was made specifically for you and they're made perfectly, like when you meet them, they're perfectly for you. Perfect.
Yeah.
Is a fantasy, right? Like there are people who you can meet that can be that person, but it's not going to be this perfect such scenario where everything's perfect and it's just like automatic, right? Like these relationships that last over decades like take work, and you've built each other, you've like grown together into this perfect person for each other.
Exactly.
It's not like, oh, it's like the person I met, they're pretty good, they hit like 85% of my boxes, but there's 50% that I'm not sure about. They must not be the one. Because it has to be 100.
And that's what's kind of funny about the dating process, right?
Yeah.
Is like you go through all these checks of like what you're looking for or whatever, I guess. And it's probably a lot more, it's a longer list for women than it is men. But you go through all those selections and everything. But when you first meet somebody, that's not either of those people's true self. Right, you're putting
that's your point. Yeah.
It's like an interview for your job. You're putting your best self forward.
Best foot forward, absolutely.
And you're always at all times, right?
Yeah.
You're never
yeah.
taking that guard down.
Yep.
And you're not, you're not letting your hair down by the terms. But so yeah, it's a false impression that you're giving somebody.
So if somebody's 85% with their best foot forward at all times, when they're just like being themselves,
yeah.
when their hair is down, they're probably gonna be less than 85. And that's just like a reality.
Yeah.
Right. So this is interesting. This is maybe the talk for another day, but like, you know, what is love? I think you talked about this before in another episode, like what love means, like instead of being a feeling. But I think that's gonna be a topic for
We get in there. Yeah. We're veterans in this in this arena now.
Yeah.
Ask my wife.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm killing it.
Is that what she would say?
Yes.
Actually, comment below.
Yeah, she doesn't watch these, so I think we're good.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Well, thanks for sticking around. If you stuck around this long, then you definitely owe us a like and a subscribe. It's like a tip. You owe us a like and subscribe.
Exactly.
So you like, if you don't do it, you're a bad person.
And not just 20% of a like and subscribe, 100%.
100%, which means a comment as well.
Yes. Like, put that in there.
Share the video, all those things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, until next time, I'm Dave and he's Matt, and we'll see you later.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.